This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, this is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
All right, here we go. This is Gross, episode 10, with fullback / tight end / fumble rooski extraordinaire, Richie Brockle. We recorded this episode in my hometown of Fruitland, Idaho, where we were out to do a youth football camp and a high school O-line camp, and Richie was kind enough to come help me out and coach for 2 days. And we recorded this in the shop at the house where the tractors and stuff are, because my house was so full of family and friends, you couldn't even hear yourself think. There were kids running wild, everybody out to take part in the camp. So Richie was kind enough to join me, and we had a lot of fun coaching and a lot of fun doing other things. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and see you later. Okay. We are officially recording the latest episode of This Is Gross Ever. It is now 10:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and this is the first chance we've had to get to this. Welcome to the show, Richie Brockle.
Thanks for having me. You know, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be in Idaho, most importantly.
All right.
And is this the first This Is Gross filmed in or recorded in Idaho?
Oh, yeah, of course. The first of many, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you love getting away to Idaho whenever you
can. Well, It's one of the best states in the union. I'm not going to give my list of top states because I don't want to offend anyone, but it's in my top three states in the union.
It's in my top one state.
You can say that.
I'll just
okay,
go out
good.
There and say it. I don't.
No, I love afraid. It. It's excellent. There is one thing that's a problem around here, though.
What's that?
Well, there's a disease that runs rampant called Fruitland fatigue.
Fruitland fatigue.
Yes. Fruitland, Idaho is my hometown.
Yes.
And when we come home, we like play as hard as possible, like from sun up till way past sundown, like this. So Fruitland fatigue takes place, and I'm suffering from a severe case of it right now.
I feel it setting in, that 5 a.m. wake up to drive out to Fruitland to get me ready for the camp.
Well, no, because, okay, so our day-to-day, the reason you're here is because of the Jordan Gross lineman camp at my high school, and then tomorrow the Jordan Gross youth camp at my high school, and the money raised goes to the high school. So you're generous enough to donate your time, but we had to take care of first things first, 6:30 workout this morning.
Yep, I got up early and got in with Cheyenne. He got after us, hit the bench press.
Cheyenne Petrie, my trainer out here, is a CrossFit guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were benching, we did our like lunges and all that stuff, but it started at 6:30, so by 7:50 we were done.
Yeah.
And then we went and ate breakfast.
Yep. Big breakfast.
Big breakfast. Second breakfast.
Yep.
And we went to the lineman camp all day long.
Yeah, and then we were in stances the whole time, holding bags.
Oh, working our tails off.
Grinding tape.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Watching film. And the best part of all is when you go to O-line camp in Idaho, lo and behold, there's like 5 or 6 O-linemen there that play 8-man football. So I was teaching them how to be a tackle, and they don't even need a tackle.
Well, they know how to be a tackle. They play guard, but it's really tackle.
It's really
They're blocking the guys off the edge.
They go center, guard, and then 2 tight ends, a running back, and a quarterback.
Right, and they just throw the ball all over the place.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we had him draw up a, remember we started with a chalk talk, we had him draw up a defense. He's like, why is there so many guys out there? I said, what do you mean? And he said, I play 8-man football.
Right. And there was a couple of them that played.
There was like 6 of them. And the linemen, I thought the linemen were at the wrong camp because they were like $1.50.
Right. That's Idaho lineman there for
that's
you.
That's an Idaho 8-man lineman.
Yeah.
And the one guys were from such a small school, they join with another school to have enough players to make 8-man.
To make 8-man football. They have to use 2 high schools.
And I asked the one kid, I said, what's your summer job? He said, ranching. I'm a rancher.
Yeah, the other guys out on the BLM out there.
Yeah,
you know?
They work for like the forest fire, debris cleanup, and ranching. That's their summer jobs.
Right.
Well, it's awesome.
Only in Idaho.
Right. So we had our camp all day long, and then we get home, and we're not just going to sit around and play Xbox or watch TV.
No.
Hey, Richie Brockle, let's take the boat out behind the house and go bass fishing.
Right. We went up the Payette, rode the boat up the Payette, of course got stuck.
I got stuck. Well, it's the river is super shallow.
Right.
And my boat is like a jet boat on the back, so there's no props. So you can go in like really shallow water. Yeah. And I was just telling you, hey, man, the first time I run this river every year, it always changes and something's up. And we ran aground.
Instantaneous. It was like, hey, you know, sometimes I get stuck. And boom, stuck. Just like, I go flying forward. I can barely stay in the boat. We hit the rocks so
and
hard.
And you didn't have proper footwear.
No.
I was wearing my Keen sandals. Right. I could have had a pair of Thomas Austin Chacos that we learned about in the glamp
you don't
trip.
Want, you don't want those.
But those would have been perfect because I had to hop out and rescue right. us.
And then you would have been in trouble because the Chacos wouldn't have held up in the water.
Well,
the
no, they're supposed to be solid, but they don't have the toe coverage like right. my Keens.
Right.
But you were like the maiden in distress I had to rescue.
No, I was more like the the manager, and I sent my guy.
You were
the
captain,
boat.
And yeah. I was the mate, first mate?
Yeah, first mate.
Oh, okay.
Deckhand.
So, you're the deckhand. So you had to get, you stayed in, and I got us out. And then we run up river, and we tried a few holes and couldn't catch anything.
No. Well, I thought we were the worst fishermen in the world there for a little while. I had myself believing that at first, but I knew that wasn't true.
Well, we were skunked.
Right.
But then as the sun started to set in the east, or the west.
The two bald eagles.
Yeah, we saw two bald eagles.
Right, that was a sign.
Then, boom, the bass start picking up on the right. spinners. Yeah. And I found in the bottom of my junk tackle box one yellow and red spinner, and that was the secret weapon.
It was. It would catch, you just started killing
it. It would catch every tiny bass in the Payette River in Idaho.
Hence he said tiny.
Anything that weighs under 6 ounces, I would hook right. and bring him aboard.
And then anytime you hooked a big one, you just lost it.
Yeah, it'd spit it out.
Hold on, yeah.
I hooked one bass, and it was big because we saw it jump, and it's jumping. And I'm fighting this thing in like it's a marlin. All of a sudden, the bass jumps up, looks at me, winks, and spits it out, and it shoots it back so far, it hit me in the face.
Right. I saw it. It's a true story.
With three hooks on
it. He looked him dead in the eyes and just spit that thing right
out. And I called, I'm not afraid to say it, I called that bass a son of a gun. I did.
Yeah, it's true.
He hit me with a hook.
You know, and the thing is, it was a big fish. I'll give him that. He couldn't land it because he didn't touch it. And Jordan did outfish me. How many fish did you
get? I think I got like five bass.
So five bass. You know, I only caught one, but the sum of Jordan's five bass probably equaled the one bass.
Not inches, but ounces.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, that's the picture I'm going to put on here to post right. like on the Facebook and stuff.
Right.
Is you with your monster bass.
Yeah,
and you, or I might do the one with you in the sunset because that was cool.
Well, it would be good. It would be good to post the picture of the bass because then if Byers looks at it, he can actually see what a
Jeff
bass
Byers.
Looks like.
He yeah. Jeff Byers, self-proclaimed outdoor enthusiast, has no idea what a bass is.
Right, and
tell him the story.
Well, we were up on the camping trip, our glamping trip. With
yeah,
the O-line and Luke and myself. And Khalil hooked a bass, and Byers looks at it, and what do you think it was, a walleye?
He said, yeah, what is that, a walleye?
Yeah.
This is the guy who thinks he can...
Largemouth bass.
This guy thinks he could forage and live off the land. Right. He doesn't know what a bass is.
He doesn't even know what a bass is.
That's so crazy. So we were texting him, making fun of him
right.
tonight, because I invited him to come to this camp, and he right. was too busy with his in-laws.
Yeah, he had other things to do.
Forget him.
It's all right.
The reason you live in Idaho, though, now is because... Most everybody knows you were a Boise State Bronco.
Right.
From Arizona. Yeah. How'd you end up at Boise State?
Well, you know, I wasn't highly recruited out of college. So, yeah, I was.
All right, this guy's average size, kind of slow.
Works hard.
Works really hard.
Very smart.
Ooh, Boise State.
Yeah, we'll give him a scholarship.
We're going with that guy.
Yeah, so it was Boise State, or I could have walked on at ASU and a few of the Ivy League schools.
Ivy League. I thought they didn't give scholarships.
No, they don't, but they did want me to come play for them.
So not only could you have gotten huge financial debt, you also could have been too busy to work a job.
It would have been the whole experience.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
You should have gone there.
I thought I almost
But did. It does sound good to say that Ivy League's wanted you.
Right. See, that's my go-to. It's just as good as going there.
Boise State is not an Ivy League school.
No.
It's not a bad school. But
the Ivy League wanted me.
They did want you.
Right.
Well,
so it's just,
I would have
gone, just as good.
I would have gone to an Ivy League school because you right now wouldn't be playing pro football. You'd be like, well, you'd have been in the Skulls.
Yeah.
Like a secret society.
Absolutely.
You would have known at least three former presidents.
Yep.
And you would have not been banging your head against other men for money. You would have been like an astronaut.
But I wouldn't have been living in Idaho.
Yeah, that's true. You probably live in like Jersey
Ooh.
Or Connecticut. Connecticut, maybe. Right?
Connecticut wouldn't be bad. You'd get a nice beach house.
Okay, so you came to Boise State, and you were here like during the heydays, man.
Yeah,
like
both Fiesta Bowls.
Both Fiesta Bowls. And today, during the O-line camp, we ran the Statue of Liberty during the big man 7-on-7, and I said, let's run the Statue of Liberty like Boise State.
Right.
Take me through that game.
Oh, that game.
Oklahoma.
It was unbelievable.
You guys were not supposed to win.
No, we were supposed to get killed. But we all knew we were going to win going into the game.
Yeah,
We did. We watched the tape, and we said, hey, we can beat these guys.
They only have Adrian Peterson. Well,
we shut him down.
He's no good.
He only ran for like 40 yards.
Did he really?
Yeah. Whoa. He came out because we beat him up so bad.
He came out of the game?
I saw it.
I need to get him on this show and see if that's...
Get him in here. Ask him.
Did Richie Brockle beat you up?
No, Adrian? I did not beat him up. I won't go that far. I didn't say I'd beat him.
All right, so it's, what was it, like third and goal or something with the Statue of Liberty? How did that work?
It was an overtime.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
We were going for two. We had just scored, tied it up. Mm. Or no, we were down by one. So we could have kicked the field goal, tie it to go in another
overtime. But you said, no, we know we're going to win.
And we just went for it.
Okay, so were you in the game on that play? Or were you on
no, side? I was in the game on the touchdown to get to that play.
Okay.
We did a pitch pass.
Yeah.
Had a bunch formation and hit Derek Schumann in the corner of the end zone.
Okay, so you're on the sideline. Did you know you guys were running that, or were you just watching like everybody?
No, I knew we were running it because I went on the sideline, and everybody's all fired up. Hey, we're doing.
And you've been practicing it all leading up to the game, right?
We had ran it earlier in the season, so they had seen the tape of us running it. Yeah, we ran it against the Vandals.
Against University of Idaho?
Oh, yeah. You got to bust out all the tricks against the
Wow, so they didn't even know.
Yeah, we ran it the exact same way, too.
Wow. Wow.
And just walk in.
Well, it was awesome, and I put like Boise on the map, which really, thanks to Utah, my alma mater, is what put the mid-conference teams on the map.
Well, that's
that's a whole other story. That's a different episode.
Yeah, that could be a whole episode in itself.
So you told me that Idaho's your number one state in the union. Right. Sorry, yep. North Carolina.
Yep.
Sorry,
it's unfortunate. North Carolina is good.
Have you ever been to Alaska? You might like Alaska.
I might like Alaska,
but it's not as convenient geographically.
No,
that's a whole another.
Boise is pretty awesome.
Boise is awesome. So what's like your ideal? Like if you could do anything in Idaho, like this summer, if you don't have to do the Jordan Gross camp and catch bass, well, like what would you do? Like, was it so awesome?
A big thing for me would just be getting up in the mountains backpacking. Mm. I love to get out and just go out, hike around, you know, get a big 2-night trip in, camp by some lakes underneath the stars, and you know, you don't even take a tent.
You don't even need
a tent out here.
But what about mosquitoes?
They're not that bad.
Yeah, right. When we were on the boat, you were like taking a bath with DEET.
Well, that's why you get the 100% DEET. You just spray it on. You get the.
You don't have to wear a tent, but you do put cancer-causing agent all over your skin.
Hey, it's a sacrifice you have to make to get the good stars.
You know that you can put a tent up with no rain fly.
No, that's not the same.
What about like a rattlesnake?
There's not rattlesnakes up there.
Up that high?
No, I don't think so.
Up above the tree line where there's still snow?
You camp at like 9,000 feet.
Tell me the romantic story about the first time you took your wife backpacking or when you were dating.
Oh yeah, that was a great trip. She had never been before. And of course, I have this great idea that we're going to do this big loop in the Sawtooths, and
which are like an unbelievably beautiful area of the country.
It's the best. I mean, right. We're going to camp at this lake, then we're going to climb up over this ridge.
And yeah.
I said, okay, the first day, I don't remember how, I think I might have told her it's 4 miles. I think it was 8.
You just lied, or did you not know?
I didn't know. But the thing about the Sawtooths is all the trails are very well marked.
Yeah.
The distance and everything. Uh-huh. So we'd been hiking for a while. And I was like, oh, it's just ahead. You know, we're almost there, of course.
This is her first. Did she have good shoes or anything?
She did have good shoes.
All right, that's key.
And so we get to the first sign, and it says, I was like, oh, yeah, just around the corner. It says, 4 miles still to go, and I told her the whole thing was 4 miles.
Oh, no.
So that was just an instant shutdown. She had I overpacked her pack, of course, another mistake on my part. And
you surely had a tent in there, though.
We did bring a tent on that trip. I was like, I was smart enough on the first trip. I was like, I'll bring a tent. But it was an old, like, 30-year-old J.C. Penney tent.
J.C. Penney sells tents?
From Penney's, yeah. It was from my parents' old tent.
Bedding and... Yeah. Jeans and tents.
Backpacking tents.
Backpacking. That's not true.
It's true. I got the bag. It says J.C. Penney on it.
We're looking that up, man. I can't believe that.
Fact check it.
So
fact check.
Did she ever go again with you after that? After you lied?
She went the next year, and we went out, and I convinced her this time to not bring the tent, and it rained on us.
No, it's
we got rain on that time.
Did you just lay there in the rain?
Well, I was smart enough. We had a tarp that we were laying on top of, so we kind of just pulled it over.
So you're telling me you were getting rained on in the middle of a wilderness area, and yeah. You just made your girlfriend that you're trying to impress just put a tarp over you. Did you even sleep at all?
Oh, I slept great.
And
I don't
she
know
was
if
probably
she
scared
slept.
To death.
Yeah, there's lightning everywhere.
That's terrible.
And she will go again.
Yeah, well. Well,
I bought a tent though now.
Okay,
I bought
good.
An REI
Did
tent.
You go to JCPenney?
No, REI.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they do sell tents there. Yeah. Okay, so for football, I was drafted to Carolina and was first round pick, so like I knew I was making the team.
Right.
And you were an undrafted guy out of Boise State. And so tell me what that mindset's like going into your first training camp. Slowish. I keep saying you're slow. You're not really
I'm not
slow.
I'm not really slow. But
you're a hard worker.
That's the perception.
Right. Because you're like a stocky, fullback, which is like a vanishing position anyways in the NFL. So, tell me what your mindset was like. The Chargers gave you a chance.
The big thing for me was just going down there. I knew that the thing that would help me is just learning the offense as fast as I could. So, it was just really important when I went down there to know that if I can get the offense down, that way if I get a rep or two at the end of practice, I'm not going to make a mistake and never get a rep again.
Yeah.
That was kind of the first thing I was thinking of. And then I just worked. I just picked out a guy on the team I wanted to emulate, and I just kind of followed
him
around.
Who was that?
You know, it was a few of the old linemen, actually.
Really?
I really liked Hardwick and Jeremy Clary down there. I liked the way those guys work because Jeremy would go out every day before practice and work his hands and his punch. And, I just really loved watching the way those guys worked. You know, so it was really impressive to see them and work with them.
So that's carried over to your – what's this, your fourth or fifth year?
I'll be going to my fourth year.
Yeah, and so every year, though, is kind of that same mindset for you, right?
Yeah, and I would, when I was there, I would go in on the weekends. I'd be the only guy at the facility. And
Cam Newton gave you the nickname the Mauler.
Right, yeah.
Because
that was a quick one. That came fast.
I think he didn't know your name.
Yeah, probably not.
So he just called you the Mauler.
Well, he was in his big nickname phase.
Yeah, he gave a lot around, but that one stuck.
Yeah, I think it was one of the few that actually stuck.
A lot of them were terrible, but that one stuck.
Yeah, that one worked out, and it's kind of become synonymous with me. It's got a position group now.
Mauler.
Get Tolbert and I in there and run around.
So the trick play, we talked about your Boise State trick play, but the trick play 2 years ago at the Texans has to be like the highlight of your NFL career, right?
Definitely, actually.
We put that in we put in this fumble risky play to you, and we put it in like a month earlier. You remember? And we all were like nervous. We were going to call it because we practiced it.
Yeah.
And we had to stand there as linemen with our hands on our hips and act like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And then I was in charge of yelling, go! And we were going to run to the left a bunch of idiots.
Well, and we had the tape. Did you see that we watched the tape on it leading up to that? And it was just a disaster.
Right.
The guy had to, it was Lorenzo Neal, right?
Yeah.
He had to break like four tackles to get in the end zone.
So we're at the Texans who were winning their division.
Right.
And then it's late in the year and we're like, hey, let's do this. Here it comes. Fumble Ruski on one, ready to break. And everyone's trying not to smirk. We're like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Just standing back there thinking, oh, don't fall over. When you're
I'm we're either going to score or this is going to be so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Set Hut. I'm in my head, 1,000, don't act like I'm nervous. 2,000, okay, it's about time, hold it. 3,000, go! And I look back and you had the ball and it worked.
It worked out perfect.
And now you're a hero.
Yeah. It was either not top 10 or top 10.
Which one was it?
Yeah, it worked out great.
Top 10?
I think so.
Did you get number one? Let's check that. So we got to check.
Fact checking.
Fact check. If JCPenney sells tents and if you were on the top 10. Well, we got to get to bed because now it's 10:48.
And we got an early workout.
And we got 6:30 workouts tomorrow. Right. Sled pulls out in the dirt road.
With camp. After
all right.
That.
Well, let's get to bed. Thanks for coming on. And go Idaho. Right?
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
All right, bud. See ya.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.